Oh, Robco there. He lived on a farm not too far from here. It's a relatively small farm. Had about 10 houses on it, buildings, and maybe about 300, something like that, cows that he used to milk every day. He didn't really like to do it, but he had to do it. I mean, what else? What other choice did he have? It was either that or take a bag lunch to school and sit there all day. You know, that's just how it was. So he'd go out first thing in the morning, start milking. He'd milk this one, that one, and the other one. A lot of times he'd just grab them around the stomach like that, and he'd just squeeze them as hard as he could. Oh, he liked to milk like that. That was his favorite way of milking. That would just bubble out that milk bag, just puff it up, and he would just push out each little milker there, would just squirt the milk out in like about six different directions. And he'd have about six pails there ready to catch it. That's what he liked about it. He could do six at one time. That was one of his favorite things to do. And Terry Yanko, who just lived about maybe, he lived about a block away. And he came up over to him and said, "Hey, how'd you like to milk my pig?" He said, "Huh? You don't milk pigs." "Well, mine you do." He said, "Look at this here." He had a real small pig with him. He had him in his arms. He held up the pig and he just lifted it up like this and he held it right facing right for the bottom of the pig right at him. "Oh," he said, "what the heck is that?" "Well, those are milk pods." "Oh," he said, "what the heck? How did that happen?" "It's not unusual. They all have them." And he put it a little closer to his face like that. "Oh, hey, quit it, quit it now. Quit it now. Come on." And he just put it back and around and wrap him around himself again and just hang on to him. And he walked back the other way. Well, by the time he got halfway down the road, that little pig started kicking and bouncing and bumping around, and it just jumped right out of his arms and started running right back into the farm area. Going to try to hide himself, I suppose, somewhere, all mixed in with all those cows and stuff. He'd be in there just walking all over the place. Of course, they didn't know where he was. We knew where he was. We know where he is right now. But they don't know where he is. It's just one of those things, you know. Some people know, some people don't. And he would just stand under the cow like that and just wait for the drops of milk to drop right out of those little things that just hung underneath those bellies of the cows. And he'd sit and they'd wait, and all of a sudden he'd see a drop forming up on top. And he could see the reflection of the sun that was coming through the window now. And he saw that drop, that beautiful white drop of milk. It released itself right down. He said, "Oh, is that good? Oh, that's just delicious, delicious." Well, he ran over to the side like that and got himself a little stool built just for him, he thought. "Hey, this is perfect." And he brought it over to the cow like that. He just jumped up on the stool and rubbed his face up into that little milk bag like that and just started to suck on that thing that was hanging out. Oh, would he get full? Took about 10 minutes, but he'd fill himself up. His belly was just puffing out like that. Oh, was he full? He just loved it. He said, "I'm going to do this every day. I love it," he said. "I just absolutely love it." And the cow, he'd turn around and looked at him and said, "Get out of here." He said, "Oh, what?" He got all shook up. He said, "What the heck are you telling me that for?"
"I was sucking on my milk bag."
"Oh, sure. Now you tell me. I've been sucking on it for over a half hour."
"But I didn't like it."
"Sorry for you."
"Don't come back."
"Okay."
"No,"
he said over and over like that. "No." And then he got the other cows to do it. Pretty soon the whole barn was filled with mooing cows. You could just hear tons of them. "Moo! They were just going on and on like that. It was almost unreal, actually, to tell you the truth. If I'd had a recorder, I'd have recorded it. But I didn't have one, so I didn't. It's just one of those things. Either you do or you don't. You know how that goes. Well, in any case, I think I'm going to head over to Molly's house. Now, Molly was a friend of his, and they used to play around together a lot when she was younger. But now she was like 20 years old, 21 like that. But he considered her very young because this pig, even though it was only a couple of years old, he still thought of her as being a young person. I mean, which she is. She's only 21. The ones that didn't pull your tail and twist on your ears and things like that, he didn't like that when they did that. That's why he liked the little older ones that realized that you really shouldn't do that. Well, the little ones like that, the one-year-olds, oh, they'd come up and they'd just yank on his ears like that. And they'd tug on his snout, twist his leg a little bit there once in a while, too. He didn't like that. He just told him, he would do that type of stuff. Well, of course, they got the hint and backed off. Well, that's what they would do when they hear a noise like that. Anybody who had the normal ability to understand would back off when they heard a noise like that. And they did. That's one nice thing about that. And they did. Well, now he's trying to figure out what is he going to do for the rest of the week. Maybe he could go play with the porcupine over there. Or maybe he could just fly with a couple of birds, have about maybe 6 to 10 birds carry him across a field. He's done that before. He's done that a couple of times, actually. He got all of his buddy birds with him, and he had them grab him by each one of his little hooves like that, and one bird started to bite into his stomach. He said, "Stop it!" He would get all shook up like that. He'd say, "Don't do that. That tickles for one thing, and plus it hurts." And the bird's eyebrows would go up and go, "Huh?" Yeah, a scruffy bird, I'd say, but in any case, they would make these sounds like that, but they would carry him. They'd pick him up, and they'd haul him across the whole field, all the way to the other side, and then they'd lower him real slow, right down, right over there, right by the hill that overlooked the city. And he'd sit up on a hill like that for probably 2 to 3 hours, just gazing at the town. And by nightfall, everything was all lit up, and all the lights were just glowing at night. And he'd see the stars up above, and he'd look behind him a little bit where it was really dark from out there in the wooded area, way in the back. He'd look up, and there was no light that way up in the sky. All he could see was stars. Stars and little things in the sky just glittering. And oh, he used to like to do that. Then he turned back and looked down at the city again and see the flickering lights from the cities, from the atmosphere that he was looking through, kind of twinkling the lights of the city lights. That was beautiful, too. The colors, the reds, the blues, the greens, the yellows. Oh, was that nice. The whites. Even the white color was pretty, by the way. Just like dancing light balls all over the place. And every now and then, he'd see a jet fly across. He could see that. He knew it was a jet because of the flashing light and how fast it was going. He couldn't really hear it, but he could see it. And he liked that. He liked to just sit and do that. Now and then, he'd reach his hand into his pocket and he'd pull out a dice, a couple of dice. And he'd look at them and he'd toss them around in his hooves like that. He'd just kind of bounce them around from one hoof to the other, back and forth and back and forth, and come up with a double sixes. Oh, would he get excited? And he says, "I've got good luck for a week." And he let it at that. He just didn't do anything with them anymore. He just stuck them right back in his pocket and said, "I don't want to ruin a good thing. I've got good luck for a week. Oh, a week. What am I going to do?" Well, he was all excited about it, of course, and he was going to head down into the town and have a party because he knew he was going to have a good week all week. Well, by the time he got halfway down this cliff, and he was having a struggle of a time here, he didn't really quite know what he was going to do because he got these branches stuck on his underside and underneath his armpit like that, and he was kind of like in a stuck position, and he couldn't get going because his legs were twitching and twitching all over the place, and he couldn't move them or get up, or he couldn't grab on anything. He just kind of shot his legs back and forth, back and forth. Oh, he said, "Oh, come on now, come on now." These branches were just stuck right on his underside there and right in his armpits too. Well, he got his hoof like that, and he started banging on this branch on top, and that kind of broke away. By that time, he flipped off to the side like that and fell away from the branch and all the way down. Just kept on rolling, tumbling down right to the very, very bottom, and he just rolled into a stop like that, and face up, heading, looking up at the sky, looking up at the sky. Oh, oh, he said, "Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Ooh, I'm a little bit dizzy, a little bit dizzy, about a 2% dizzy spell here. Which isn't too bad. One time I had about an 8% dizzy spell. Wow, that was a big one. But 2%, that's not too bad. I'm doing pretty good." And he laid there just to recover. "Recovery time," he said. "I need a little bit of recovery time." And he go, and he did that grunting, you know. He was getting pretty loaded with these grunts every now and then. He didn't know what it was. As days went by, he started to grunt a lot more, he noticed. He didn't even have to do anything. He would just turn and go, "Oh, how'd that happen?" He didn't even know. And he'd look down. "Well, how'd that happen?" Then he'd look up. "Well, how'd that happen?" He was always confused. How he always just grunted. He didn't even expect it to happen. He just automatically grunt for some reason. He just, for whatever reason, he didn't even know why. He just did it. He said, "I must be a pig." He didn't want to admit it. But he said, "I must be one of those pigs. Me, I'm a pig," he said. "I know I am a, I can tell." And sure enough, he was right. He was a pig. Only way he knew, of course, is because he had a tattoo on his arm that said, "I'm a pig." Right there, it said, "I'm a pig." Oh, he said, "Now I know for sure I'm a pig. I'm just going to have to live with it, I suppose, for my whole life. Yes, I'm just going to have to live like that all the time, all everywhere I go." And his snort got snuckled in his neck. He said, "You know what? I'm going back to that big old barn that I was in. I loved it there where those cows were milking and stuff like that. And I'd get all that milk I wanted. Oh, I'm going back." So he did. He climbed right back up the cliff, up over those branches that he just fell from, right past him. He climbed right all the way to the top through the bushes and the sand and right to the very top. Ah, he said, "There it is, way down over there. I'm going. And he got all excited, and he's heading down the hill. He's just tiptoeing all the way down, but he didn't want to make too much noise because that wolf is nearby, so he kind of tiptoed through all the grass and all the weeds and stuff, and he went all the way down, just tiptoeing. He'd either watch, he didn't snort too loud, or somebody come after him, but he just made his way. As he kept walking really quick all the way down through that long, narrow path, right down, right back to the farm. Well, he was almost there, right at the farm, and he noticed this big puff of hair that was standing just before him with a big puffy tail. He thought, "Uh-oh, I bet it's that old Bobby Wolf. I bet it is. He's probably going to ask me for my ID, I bet." So he said, "I'm going to trick him." Sure enough, he ran off to the side, off to the left, and then went off to the right, then off to the left. And he could see him looking at him this way, that way, the other way. And he went, "Oh, well, where'd he go here? What's going on here?" Well, he eventually made it around him. He looked back, and he saw him looking around for him. He could see him looking up and down, round and round. And he kept on walking right on back to the barn. Well, he got back into the barn and was just having a ball. I mean, he was just having a ball, just tapping the cows on the sides. And, "Ooh," he said, "am I going to have fun tonight?" And away he went, right from one cow to the next. Drinking all that milk and stuff. He just loved it. He spent the whole night just drinking milk all night long. He didn't want to drink too much because his stomach was getting really bloated. But he did a little of this and a little bit of that. He just left and he was getting real tired, you know, because it does make you tired when you have a lot to eat. So he rolled off to the side like that and said, let his stomach rest. And eventually it wasn't but 10 minutes, he found himself drifting off into a beautiful soft sleep, laying there in the barn in the straw like that, off to the side where nobody'd step on him or anything. He just lay there off to the side in the kind of like the corner like, and he just lay there rest. He lay there, he just rested the whole night. 1, 2, 3, he said, "Let's go to sleep." He just laid there snorting and sleeping. Oh.